Thought for the day. The burden of failure is the most terrible punishment of all. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, December 26, 2019. This is episode 61. For starters, Merry Christmas or whatever else you celebrate. I hope you're having a good one. Hope things are going well in your life. And the cat has decided to join me right next to the microphone. Down, Carl. Anywho, but yeah, just hope everyone's having a good holiday and stuff. Today's episode's going to be a bit shorter. I shouldn't say a bit. It's going to be quite a bit shorter, actually. Combination of A, not much new stuff to talk about from GW. There's some, though, that we're going to talk about. And B, the holiday thing kind of, once again, threw off the normal schedule. Honestly, last week, when I recorded last week's episode, I was like, yeah, you know, I'll be back next week. We'll do the last of the Codex review, etc. And I wasn't even thinking about the fact that, being that it was a holiday and everything else, that I was going to be quite too busy to be doing such things. So I had a little extra time off, but we also had a lot of things to do around the house and stuff. So, yeah, it just was like, yeah, that's not going to work to fit it in the normal schedule. And stuff. So, also too, there will likely not be an episode next week, specifically. If so, it'll be like this one. It'll be probably a shorter episode later on in the week. But there will not very, very likely not be one, at least, in the beginning half of the week. Just family stuff, holiday stuff, once again, etc. So, just up front, I'm just going to say, rather than me being like, oh yeah, I can make this work, then go, oh fuck, no, I can't. It's just probably not going to happen until later next week, but most likely I'll just take the week off because of all the holiday and stuff. And then hopefully be back full bore with the rest of the Codex review and everything else after that. We'll see. You never know. I might be able to fit it in, but I just really wanted to just be up front and be like, I am currently planning on not putting out an episode next week. There. Simple as that. I don't like missing episodes in general. I don't even like delaying them, but life happens and stuff. At the end of the day, this doesn't pay the bills and everything else, so I got other shit I gotta do. So, but I would definitely love to be able to dedicate myself full time to this whole thing, but that requires money, which I don't have at the moment. So, but. Like I said, as far as what's been going on in my neck of the woods, it was Christmas. It had a pretty good Christmas overall, I would say. I got some new goodies. It was actually kind of funny because, Krista admitted that she had snuck off to the local hobby shop, Galactic Toys, to, get my gifts because she didn't order any of it online. So I was like, okay, I don't know how you manage that. And then she admitted, you know that day I went to the grocery store? Yeah, I didn't just go to the grocery store. Oh, okay. So, but it was funny too because we were at the hobby shop shortly thereafter. And I'm like, yeah, I can't find this model or that model kit. They don't have this one in stock. And it was just funny because I really need that damn tree, that feculent Gnarlmaw. And I was hoping they had one. She's like, yeah, they really don't have one. And I was like, okay, that answers one thing I'm not getting for Christmas. She's like, yep. And I was like, damn, I really was hoping they'd have Aeronautica Imperialis here, too. As I was debating about that. She's like, yep, they really don't have that either. Although she was sneaky about one part, when we were looking just at board games and stuff, there was the Warhammer 40,000 Monopoly was no longer on the shelf. It had been sitting there for several weeks. And she's like, man, they don't even have that Monopoly game anymore. But that one, the other two, she was flat out like, they do not have those things. Like, mildly, like, I tried to fucking get them and I couldn't fucking get them. then, once again, with the Monopoly thing in hindsight, I'm like, okay, I see the difference there. The one, you were like, nope, ain't gonna fucking happen. They don't have that shit. And the other one's like, oh, look at that. It's sold out. I wonder where it was, you know, who bought it? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I didn't catch on to the wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the time at all. So I ended up getting the Warhammer 40,000 Monopoly set, like I just mentioned. And then I got the Mortison's Soul Mason, the dude on the chicken leg chair, as well as the Ossiarch Bone Reaper's War Scroll cards and Ossiarch Bone Reaper's dice. Those dice look like they're going to be a pain in the ass to read, but they'll be fun to just, you know, mess around with. You know, it's always fun to get new dice, even if they're a little silly or whatever. Yeah, so, like I said, pretty good. The kids got a lot of different games and stuff. I got Krista the Wonderland Munchkin. One of her sons got the Harry Potter one. I got my oldest the Rick and Morty Munchkin. So, we got a lot of Munchkin to play, for sure. And plus Monopoly. So, which, if you are in a big hurry to end a relationship, boom, Monopoly. But, yeah, so... other than that, not a whole lot of new stuff, going on. I did want to do a little battle report thing. That's pretty much going to be all that's the episode contains, is just, my most recent battle report. Let's get into some of the actual new stuff. Once again, there's not much. There really is not much. So starting today, you can go into Warhammer stores and pick up the, this year's Grom Brindal, which I would actually personally like to get because it is AdMech themed. So it's a pretty cool looking model and stuff. It doesn't fully fit in with the aesthetic of AdMech entirely because, well, he's a dwarf. And he's got that weird spiky hair and he's all smiley too. That's smiling and AdMech is just not a thing. So. But it's still a cool model. I still would like to get the Red Gobbo. I almost got it, actually, the other day, but I did not. I decided to hold up, wait, see what I get for Christmas with certainty. Depending on what I ended up getting for Christmas, I may want money to buy other projects or whatever else anyways. So buying something offhand was just like, I should maybe wait. So I did. Which is good because we've got this whole new year, new army thing going on. If you want to participate, they got a whole lot of stuff, for Armies on Parade, Ever Chosen, etc. But they also have the new year, new army thing. There's, you could do hashtag painting Warhammer 2020, to specifically show off progress with the purchase of like start collecting boxes and stuff. So if you're looking to start a new army, you can go that route. But actually, I'm probably going to be getting some more stuff here shortly because they announced a new box set on Christmas Day. The Aether War box set for Age of Sigmar. And it is Caradhron Overlords versus Disciples of Tzeentch. And what's cool with this box set is it's all flying models. Like, the Disciples box, or the half that's for the Disciples, has some Zangor Skyfires on the discs. There's some Screamers of Tzeentch, and then you've also got this new Magister guy. And then on the Caradhron Overlord side, they've got a new hero. It's an Endrin Master with dirigible suit. So it's kind of like that weird top hat motherfucker, Brock Magnuson, or whatever the fuck his name is. I don't remember. He's a really stupid model, though, because actually it's a really cool model. But then he's got this fucking dumbass top hat on, and it's just, no. It just ruins the entire aesthetic. So I'm glad to see a dude with the suit and stuff who isn't wearing a goddamn stupid-ass top hat. So... but it also looks like it includes some, like, three engine riggers or, oh god, what's the name of the other one? Skyhooks, I think is the name of the other dudes. So it's got, like, three of each of them, although you could probably build them how you want them, I would imagine. Most of the time, these kits. You know, they might come some stuff might come monopose, but usually it's got the when they're using like the old kits, they are the multi-pose kits and stuff. So and then it also has, I think if I'm remembering correctly, it's the frigate or the gun hauler, whichever one's the smaller like airship that they have, the smallest class one, that it's got one of those in it too. So overall, I don't have a price point, but I'm imagining it's probably going to be similar to the other box sets and stuff pricing wise. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose. But yeah, like I said, pretty cool kit. I'm definitely wanting to get one. I think Zinch shit is just cool to begin with. But carried around overlords are definitely like, oh yeah. So, and then as far as 40K is concerned, the other things, they, you know, went more on like the, just announcing a little bit more, the Ritual of the Damned, the next Psychic Awakening book, which is going to have Dark Angels, Grey Knights, and Thousand Sons for their for the new faction rules and stuff in this book. They're also, though, putting out a new dude who's crossed the Rubicon and stuff, a guy named Lazarus for the Dark Angels. So another one of the older, you know, they don't really have any like new like Primaris heroes that I'm aware of. It's like everybody was random one-off dudes from some time in the past, or bigger dudes, you know, like in the case of Marnius Calgar and Mephiston, but or like in the case of, you know, Imperial Fists, Salamanders, and then Dark Angels, just these random characters. I mean, not that I know all of Warhammer lore extensively, but I'm not entirely familiar. You know, this even mentions, for those who of you who remember the Wrath of Magnus, so it's just some dude in the Wrath of Magnus story, apparently. But yeah, I'm not wowed by the model. A lot of the other Primaris hero dudes have been really fucking cool and had some really cool features or whatever. You know, like the case of Mephiston having the multi-pose. Maybe this guy will have multi-pose too. I guess I don't know that. But, yeah, I'm just like, oh, yay, another Primaris dude, but one that I don't know and don't care. So, personally, but that's just me. They are also, because of all this new stuff going on, they're putting out as a, I think it's direct-to-order item, the made-to-order item, the Dark Vengeance box set. Which is the 7th edition box set. You can get the models for that here. I don't know if it's available currently or very shortly, but yeah, they announced that. I think you can get it currently, though. And then lastly, if you do order any physical product from Games Workshop directly right now, while supplies last, they will give you a code to download the first Total War Warhammer for free, which is pretty cool. So, but yeah, out of all their announcements from Christmas, definitely the Aether Wars box set is the one that I'm like, yes, this is the good stuff right here. So, but yeah, so other than that, the only other things that were really announced, and it was supposed to be after Christmas, but it ended up coming a little early, not exactly a great Christmas gift in the world of Warhammer. But Duncan Rhodes, Lord and Savior of the Two Thin Coats, for those who are completely unfamiliar with what the fuck I'm talking about, really famous painter for Games Workshop, for Warhammer TV. He does a lot of really cool tutorials that are usually pretty simple to follow to get some really great results. So I do recommend checking out a lot of his stuff. But he is leaving Games Workshop. So, yeah, you know, I hoping that he stays, you know, still involved in the hobby world and stuff. You know, once again, a fantastic painter, but it's still a sad day all the same to hear that he is leaving, unfortunately. So, but yeah, other than that, that's pretty much about it as far as news, you know, goes, as far as new GW specific news. There was one other thing that I wanted to talk about as well here. For those of you in the West Michigan area, I don't think I talked about this on the last episode, if I'm remembering correctly. We'll go over it though here again quick. Just in case I did. Actually, you know what? I could find out if when I found out. I could scroll up here from when my buddy of mine sent me the message about it. What day of the week was that? That was last week, Thursday, later on in the day. So, yeah. So, it wouldn't have been on last week's episode. It wouldn't be on last week's episode because it was after I'd recorded that. So, we're not retreading old ground by accident. Yay! So, anywho, if you're in the West Michigan area at Valhalla, well, I should say it's being hosted by Valhalla Games and Sundries in Montague. But they have a league, Warhammer 40,000 Task Force Reclaimer. A very interesting league overall. I've not officially signed up yet myself. I'm considering it, though. The way it works, though, is that you don't have to play at that particular place. So if you're anywhere in West Michigan, you can get in on this league. You can just play your game. You know, it doesn't matter. You can do it at home. You can do it at a store. You can do it at their store specifically. It doesn't matter. You can play as often as you want. It's played with a 750 point match play roster, so it's smaller games on a 4x4. It's got some interesting rules too, like Highlander type stuff. There's, you know, you're limited to one data sheet of each particular entry, except for HQ and troops, if I'm remembering correctly. So you can have multiples of those things. Every single other one costs you -1 CP if you duplicate for each time you duplicate. But it's also a different kind of a detachment too. It's 1-3 HQ, 2-6 troops, 0-4 elites, 0-4 fast attack, 0-4 heavy support, 0-1 flyer, dedicated transport as usual, and Lord of War 0. And you must use that particular detachment, and you get a +7 command points alongside the Battleforge command points. So you get 10 command points, and once again, you can do duplicates, but you pay a CP for each duplicate data sheet. So you got to be very wily about your list. So you can go check that out on Facebook. Once again, it's called Warhammer 40,000 Task Force Reclaimer. I'll try to see if I could snag a link and put it in the show notes and stuff too. But yeah, I just thought that was a really cool thing they had going on there. So very, very, I like the openness and also too the size of the games just for quicker. I mean, you could play multiple games for your league every single week, but you could do it even in one fucking sitting, you know, with the smaller points values. So overall, it definitely seems like something really cool to check out. So, but anywho, once again, this is a shorter episode and stuff. So, I'm going to take a very super quick little break. And then when I come back from that, we'll go over my battle report. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Regimental Vox. Follow the Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/theRegimentalVox today.
Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I was saying before the break, wanted to go over a little battle reportness from the last game Krista and I played. And like I said, this is a much shorter episode and whatnot, but there's just not much going on right now. And once again, the holidays and everything, just, yeah, like I said, has been able to get as much done as I had hoped. So I am still planning to, I should specify too, I am still planning to do the review thing to finish up the review series, excuse me, for the Sisters of Battle Codex. That'll probably be like the first episode of next year. That will go over that most likely. Because let's see here. Like I said, I am planning to currently just not do one for next week. So should be, if all goes well and stuff, Tuesday the 7th would be the plan for that. So, but yeah. And so anyway, this past, I'm trying to think, I think it was this past weekend. I think it was last weekend. I don't remember exactly when we did, but I think it was Friday. I think it was Friday night. Yes? No? Maybe so. Tacos. Anywho, it was a good game. Definitely more good game for me than her, unfortunately. It was her Nighthawk versus my Magikin this time. And, yeah, Magikin are just oof to deal with sometimes. So, and then in particular, because of some of the stuff I have in my list, for those of you who are considering getting involved in a Magikin force, I cannot stress enough the mortal forces for Magikin. They are way better, in my opinion, than any of the demon stuff for them, and like plague bearers and stuff like that. That shit doesn't hold up a candle next to the Blight Kings. They do have like the five up feel no pain thing, but the Blight Kings, they got multiple wounds per model. They put out a lot of attacks per model, and then they have exploding sixes that don't just go, oh, you got two hits instead of one. No, it's D6 hits instead. So it's like, woof, you know, and if you roll hot and you roll really good, you're going to get some crazy amount of attacks. When we played the other day, even I think I had one that I got nearly double the amount of attacks, that successfully hit than I actually rolled in the first place. It's pretty nuts. So, but yeah, so for my list, when we were playing the other day, I went with the Lord of Plagues as my hero. I just used my Lord of Blights model. Normally I roll Lord of Blights, but I wanted to try Lord of Plagues. And I think I liked the idea of him, but I also felt like some of his abilities, like the randomized abilities and stuff that, you know, the things you have to roll on, were just a little too, since it was randomized, it just didn't happen very often. So, but still, I'm going to mess around with that a little bit. I did bring a Poxbringer. I was going to bring a Sloppity Bile Piper, but I had the points. And then I'm glad I did switch up to the Poxbringer, though. A, for some denial, you know, some denial on casting. And I almost said deny the witch, but it's AOS, so it's unbinding. But I did have wanted that to combat her psychic powers, which did come in handy a couple times. Not a ton, but it did help. And just to have some, you know, some magic powers myself, not psychic. Once again, getting my game systems fucked up. And then I also had a Harbinger of Decay. This model is like, if you're rolling Magikin, you want to be rolling mortals. And if you're rolling mortals, you want to have that Harbinger of Decay. He's got to be there. He's pretty powerful himself, like in combat and stuff. He's pretty capable. He can definitely hold his own. But the big thing for him is that he gives other mortal units in his area, like in an R, I think it's 7 inches, and it's not wholly within, it's just if you're within 7 inches of him, you get a five up feel no pain. So then they get the same advantage that the demonic forces have, having the five up. So yeah, it's very, very important to have him. And then for the rest of my army, I had a battle line, two battle lines. One was a 20 block of plague bearers, the other was a 10 block of putrid Blight Kings. Now those Blight Kings tore through her really badly. The plague bearers didn't do jack shit. And I could not get enough contagion points to really summon anything. I started strong, and I could have summoned like a tiny handful of shit, but nothing significant. So, but yeah, basically we were playing Duality of Death. I got turn one. I managed to run up and capture one objective immediately. The other one, I did not, and she did on her turn one. So the way Duality of Death works is that each turn that you hold the objective, you get victory points. And for each turn in a row that you control the objective, it increases. So on turn one, it's 1 point. And if you're holding it for two turns, it's 2 points. If you're holding it for three turns, it's 3 points, etc. And now the only way to... It has an interesting change to the way the... objective taking works. Instead of whoever has the most of, you know, most models right there around the thing and stuff, that they get the objective. So, you know, if you whittle your enemy down a little bit and now you've got 10 and he's got 9 guys, now it's yours. No. Whoever gets there first holds it in order to take it from them. Either A, the model or models, in the case of a unit that captured it, would have to move more than 3 inches away from it. Then nobody controls it at that point. If there's no models within 3 inches, it automatically stops being held, which is different from the normal rules. And then on top of that, the particular unit that captured it has to be dead. It's not both. It's either or. So like if you kill that unit, and even if the opponent has another model sitting right on that objective two that could claim it, then it's yours because you killed the dudes. I think that's how that part's supposed to work if you happen to have both armies in one spot. So, but yeah, after we played the game, like I said, I really stomped her really badly, actually. It was kind of the reverse from our previous game in many ways. And a big part of that was because of rolling my magikin. Sorry if you can hear my animals in the background. They're playing. So, but, yeah, those Blight Kings just, holy shit. Basically the way I deployed too is I put my Plague Bearers with the Poxbringer on one side of the board to go after one objective, and I put all the mortal shit on the other to try and go for the other objective. And, luckily, I managed to get that first objective with my Blight Kings in particular, because that was going to be a pain for her to deal with. She would have to face off against guys that are very powerful in combat. She did do some really good damage with the mortal wounds coming from Lady O, but because each dude has, I think, 4 wounds apiece or something, it is a lot for her to chew through. Whereas the Plague Bearers, I might as well have been using wet paper bags to fight. Very quickly, they started losing models. I never got the whole, what is it, reality blanks or whatever, where you, if you roll a 1 on your battle shock test, dudes come back. That never happened, so I was never able to replenish anything. And so on and so forth. Like, it was just like, damn. They just got whittled down rather rapidly. I wish they had gotten to the objective still first, but they did not, unfortunately, because that still might have changed the game more quickly. That was the one thing that we talked about afterwards, is that it felt like with this game, with this mission, on the one hand, it makes for a very violent mission, you know, a very violent battle plan, because you can't just sit back and try to whittle away at it. Once that enemy has that objective, they're going to run away with the game. You know, if take for example, let's say I had gotten both objectives turn one. Okay. I get 2 points then that turn, she gets none. If I hold it again for another turn, I'm at 4 points. She gets none. You know, and then if I hold it yet again for yet another turn, I will get 6 points. She gets none. So it's, you know, very quickly within a couple turns, you can completely control the game. So I think we did end, we still ended up going all the way to the fifth round. But it was very clear near the end of it, even though we ended up tying score wise, like we both have the same amount of victory points, the key to winning otherwise for a minor victory is whoever then killed the most models, like the most points value in the process. At the end of the day, she did not destroy any of my units at all, and I destroyed several of hers. So, yeah, it's just a big part of it, I think, was the Night Haunt just could not, you know, chew through those the Blight Kings fast enough. Had she been able to do that, she would have been able to take that objective, and then the game would, you know, run amok from there for me. But it would probably have been over, actually. I probably would have called it, because those Plague Bearers were not getting shit done. That was for certain. But yeah, we still had fun with it and stuff, but it just, like I said, it just could very quickly and rapidly devolve into, well, you've controlled the objective for two full rounds, both objectives, that's it. You know, or, once again, even if you keep the score tied up the whole time, if somebody's clearly demolishing the other player, it's like, well, they're going to win because they've killed a bunch of my shit. I haven't killed any of their shit. So, yeah. And we're not breaking any of these deadlocks anytime soon on these objectives. So, you know, I like the mission, I think I really do. But it's got its flaws, for sure, because of how quickly it can fall apart. So, which, speaking of falling apart, that's the other thing, too, is that Krista, because of running out of models and stuff, did end up charging Lady O in, I think, to the Blight Kings. They were whittled down pretty good at that point. I think I only had four or five of them left. But they just wrecked her. Just immediately curb-stomped her in one round of fighting. Just put her in the dirt. And that's Lady O, though, in general. She is mega stupidly powerful in the magic department and stuff. She can just kill shit all around her in this bubble. But she gets into combat and she's just mopped, gone, dead. So don't put Lady O into combat. That's the advice that I think Krista would agree with me, that's the advice she would provide. Do not go into combat with Lady O. Just leave her out of it at all costs. So, but yeah, like I said, that's about it for today. Once again, I am not planning on doing an episode next week for, you know, around New Year's there. However, there's always still a possibility. If I do one, it will be later on in the week, not in the early half of the week. I will still post about it. But otherwise, yeah, if you don't catch me next week, that's why. But I will be back with, you know, more regularly scheduled programming, so to speak, after all the holiday shenanigans are over. So, but as always, you know, make sure to hit up the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter @RegimentalVox. You can also go to the Patreon, patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox, and, donate as little as a dollar. Every little bit helps. Lastly, if you got shit you need painted up or whatever, you can hit up my brother and I at Danger Close Painting Studios on Facebook as well. So, but I think that's it for now. And once again, I will most likely not catch you guys next week, but I will catch you next year. So, yeah, I will see you all on the next episode in the next fucking decade. How cool is that? So, thank you guys for listening. I'll catch you on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the decade. Have a wonderful rest of your decade.